Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Hey, it is good to be back with you. I got a chance last Sunday to spend some time with my lovely bride. We were celebrating 13 years of marriage last Sunday. Yeah, a little whoop, come on. Thank you, baby. And so we got a little time away, and if you knew the grace, the fact that we are now celebrating 13 years of marriage, if you knew the baggage and the road that has been in our life, you would be celebrating with us, because God is good. Listen, I just want to share just an encouragement. I don't know, this is kind of off the script a little bit, but our first 5 years of marriage were hell. They were, and that was mostly me, right? It was mostly me. But the fact that we are here 13 years into our marriage is purely the favor and grace of God in our marriage, working in and through us. And so here's what I just want to encourage you. If you're in a marriage right now and you're like, man, I just don't think this is working out. It's barely hanging on by a string, and some days it's not even hanging by a string. Maybe you sleep in different rooms. Maybe you show up to church in different cars, but you walk in together because you want people to think you got it together. I've been there. I get it. But here's what I do know, and this is the hope that we have as followers of Jesus, is that nothing is too far gone for our Savior, right? If he can raise Jesus from the dead, I think he can raise your marriage back from the dead as well. I'm telling you, will you believe it? Because I'm a living testimony, my wife and I, of our marriage, it was on the rocks. We were talking about, is this gonna work out? People were actually telling us, hey, you should just cut the cord and just go on your separate ways. But when God's involved, man, everything's on the table. And so I just want to encourage you, whether you're in just a couple years into your marriage, you're like, man, I didn't sign up for this. You did. You're two jacked up people coming together. It's hard. It's just hard. And I want to encourage you to continue on, to press on. And if you're in a marriage that you're just hanging on, listen, if you would both submit yourself to God, it would be amazing, the miracle that you would someday get up on the stage and share a testimony of what God did in your marriage. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I want to encourage you in that. And so I'm so grateful that we had the time to spend as our family together. And I want to specifically thank Eric. Where's Eric at? He's back here somewhere. Eric's right here. Thank you so much. Let's give a hand for Eric for bringing the word last week. So love this guy and just the heart that he has and how he leads his family, how he leads his practice, and how he does with everything with integrity. And then he gets up here and opens up the Word of God and drops just amazing truth on us around how important it is for us to live in the context of godly community. And to have people around us in our inner circle that speak wisdom from a godly perspective. It is so important. Every one of us needs it. Let me tell you, I would not be your lead pastor if it wasn't for some men in my life that came around me to encourage me, to challenge me, and to call me out when I wasn't living what I talked. I would not be. And so I can't tell you how much I affirm what Eric preached last week. It is so true and so needed that we are not called to live on an island. If we're going to follow Jesus, it is not for the faint of heart. It is only done in the context of community. And so the question I think that Eric asked is a question that we should continue to ask, is who is around me and who is speaking to my life? Who am I giving influence in my life? Because it'll shape who you are and what you believe about God. Today I want to continue the Proverbs passage or the wisdom series that we're doing. So go ahead and grab your Bible, open up to chapter 10 of Proverbs. And I want to land just in one verse, and it's going to be the springboard to the rest of the message. It's one verse that Solomon lays down on us. Remember, wisdom, we've talked about, is the harmony or the congruence of right thinking that leads to right action. Or you could say godly thinking, renewed mind, that leads to godly action. That's what the wisdom we're talking about. And here's what the writer of Proverbs says in chapter 10, verse 9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. But he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. This is what I want to dive in today. I want us to talk about integrity. Now, when you think about the word integrity, if you're like me, sometimes I'm a little bit of a word nerd. Anybody else a word nerd in here? You kind of like the etymology. I don't even know how to say it, but it sounds good. How you like study the origin of words and kind of how they interact. And so for us to understand integrity, I thought we would share some words that are related to that word. Now, the first word for you mathematicians, you engineers out there, God bless your spouse, if you're out there, the first word that's related is integer. Integer, ever heard that word? Some teachers in the room are like, yeah, I taught that, I'm preparing my, what is an integer? An integer is a whole number. It may be -5, right? It may be 55. It could be 1. It could be 2. But an integer is a whole number. 1 1/2 or 1.5 is not an integer because it is a whole number that's coupled with a fraction. Therefore, it's not an integer. It's not whole. It's divided. But an integer is whole, okay? Now, think of another word. Think about the word integration, to integrate. Now, some of you have experienced this in your company. Maybe your company has made a strategic move to buy another company, or maybe your company was purchased by another company. And so what is the hope when a company is purchased or brought together? The hope is to integrate, right? To take two companies that are divided and to bring them into wholeness or oneness, where two become one. That's the hope of integration. No more division, but unity in one. That's the hope. And by the way, that's the hope of your marriage. Right, you take two selfish, as I said before, jacked up people with lots of baggage and you bring them together. The hope is that the two would become one, right? And share everything, one unit. That's integration, two parts into one. It's a whole. And so the theme of integrity is wholeness. This is what Webster says, the definition of integrity. It's the state or quality of being complete, or being whole, or undivided, unbroken, moral soundness, honesty, or being upright. A person or an entity that is operating with integrity is one without division. There's an alignment between what their motivations are, what their words are, and what their actions are. There is no discrepancy. There is no division on what I say and what I do. They are operating in integrity. That's where we're going to go today. Integrity. And I think we should ask the question, is integrity something that God cares about? You know, if we're followers of Jesus and we come here and we sing and worship, or maybe you're considering to follow Jesus, maybe today this is the first time and you've been in church for a long time and you feel a little out of place, you're welcome here. We love that you showed up here. You're so welcome here. But have you ever thought about it? Does integrity matter to God? If you have your Bible, just flip over in a few pages to Proverbs chapter 6. This is what Solomon tells us. It's a very intriguing kind of view of God that we get from Solomon, the writer of Proverbs. He starts out in verse 16 of chapter 6. He says, there are six things the Lord hates. Did you know that God hates some things? A God of love, fully love, it does not contradict his character to actually hate something. It's very interesting. He says, there are six things the Lord hates and seven that are an abomination to him. And here's the list. Haughty or proud eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brothers. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like division. It sounds like, man, my morals and my words and my motivations don't line up, right? That's why it says somebody who speaks lying. Of lying, a lying tongue. That's division. That's not wholeness. That's not integrity. Somebody who says one thing yet goes and tells everybody else, that's gossip, right? God hates that because it's full of division. And we got to ask the question, why does God hate these things? Because he loves us. That's why God hates these things, because he loves you and he loves me, and he knows if we want to live a full, abundant life, then we don't want to operate in things that are not full of integrity. Because there's downfalls, there's pitfalls, there's things that happen when we operate without integrity. And so he says, these are the things I hate. And you could sum them up by things that make us divided, where things don't line up with what we say and what we do. It's a lack of integrity that God hates. Because when we do that, we miss out on the life that he gave us and he longs to give us. And so if we know that integrity is important to God, I want us to ask some questions today and to really have an honest look. Listen, I know we're in church, and sometimes being honest in church, honestly, is hard. I get that. Like, I've been in your seat. I get it. But I just want us to be honest just for about 30 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, if some of you are lucky. What is integrity? And so I want to ask some questions. The first thing I want to know, how do we know if we have a lack of integrity in our life? What are some signs that in my life, I'm lacking integrity in some way? The first thing I want you to write down in your notes is, here's a sign of integrity gap. You don't do what you say you will do. This is one of the first indications that you have an integrity gap in your life. Is I say one thing, yet I do another thing. I say I'm going to be on time, but I'm not on time. That would indicate on the very early stages of an integrity gap. And honestly, this month, I was confronted with this in my own life. Your pastor has some integrity gaps. You guys know that? Because I'm not Jesus. Amen to that. My wife's, yeah, you're definitely not Jesus. Yes. And so this month, I was there upstairs in our room laying down our kids, and my wife is there, and my daughter is getting ready for bed, and she says, "Mommy, can you get me some water?" And Kate looks at her and says, "Hey, your daddy's right here. You know, I'm here all day long. I do everything for you. Why don't you ask your daddy?" And she looked at us and did not skip a beat, and she says, "Because when I ask daddy, he oftentimes gets sidetracked and doesn't bring it for a long time." Integrity gap, right? I don't do what I say I'm going to do, and I'm teaching my kids that. I'm demonstrating that, and I don't want to be that kind of dad. But if you have an integrity gap, one of the things you're going to see in your life is you don't do what you say you're going to do. The second thing that's a sign of an integrity gap is that I'm hiding something from someone. I don't want somebody to know what I'm doing, and so I'm going to hide something from them. If that is you this morning, which in a room this size, listen, there's lots of us in this room that are hiding something. If we were very honest, probably all of us are hiding something, but some of us, you know right now because your stomach's getting a little, and your hands are getting a little sweaty, and you're like, "Man, is he talking to me? Does he know? Is he God? No, I'm not God." But you and I both know is if we have an integrity gap, we begin to hide things from other people. And that's the first sign, a strong indication that somewhere in your life you're lacking integrity if you feel like you got to hide something. And then the third thing that we see if we are lacking integrity is that we find ourselves judging others to feel better about our own flaws or sin. And so I see my flaws, but I feel better about myself because I look, you know, at somebody else and say, "Well, at least I'm not doing that." Has anybody else ever done that, if you're just being honest today? Yeah, two people. I'm glad you're being honest. But if we have a lack of integrity, we begin to justify what we're doing and downplay our own sin in our life because we look at others that are supposedly sinning worse than us, so we feel better about ourselves. These are signs that there is an integrity gap, and what we know is that God cares about your integrity. And I wish this was a hypothetical list. I so wish that I have never experienced these, but I have experienced every single one of these signs because I have been a man at times in my life without integrity. Your pastor who gets up here, opens the Word of God, has been a man in seasons of my life where I have lacked immense integrity. Specifically, there was a season in my life where I was dealing with some major, major addiction and secret sin, and that secret sin led to a bunch of lies, and I began to live this out because I began to not do what I say I would do. And it starts really, really little things. And you'll start noticing if you're operating without integrity that it rolls downhill, and all these little things in your life you begin to stop doing that you know you're supposed to do. And in the midst of that, I was hiding things from my wife, from my friends, from my accountability group. I was hiding a bunch of stuff because I didn't want them to find out, because I didn't want them to question me or to think less of me. And I think if we're honest in the room, many of us have been there. I would say every one of us has been there, and some of us are there right now, and I understand where you're at. And at the end, what I would do in my addiction, in my secret sin, is I would look at other husbands and I would say, "Well, at least I'm not like that guy. At least I'm not beating up my wife every day. At least I'm not murdering somebody." And so what would I do? I would feel better about myself. I would push down my conscience a little more every time. I've been there. I've done that. And so what is the hidden cost, though? So many of us have had lack of integrity. We've had seasons. Maybe today you're saying, "Well, Derek, you just read my mail. That is me." What is the potential or the hidden cost of integrity gaps in our life? Number one thing is we have more stress that never ceases to end. When I've got this projection of something that I'm trying to put on, when I'm trying to hide something, guess what I do? I lie about it. And I'm not very smart, guys. I'm really not. And so I just, like, two lies in, I'm like, "What was the first lie? I don't remember." So here's the thing, if we're lacking integrity, we actually grow in stress more and more and more. We became more and more anxious, that's a good word, anxious. We don't wanna make eye contact with people. We don't want people actually cutting too close because they might actually see the real me. They might actually find out. This book is a great book. It's very interesting. It's called The Millionaire Mind. And it's just a book where they've looked at 773 millionaires in the U.S. and they gave them this survey and they just studied kind of all the different why people were like the way they are, how did they get about money, and just very interesting things. But one of the things that stands out to me is that the highest number of millionaires, they attributed their success to one of two things. Number one, either they had discipline, but the tide for number one thing was that they had integrity. Man, just think about that. That's what millionaires in our country are saying, attributing to their wealth is integrity. And one of the millionaires, he gave this story about his father. This is great wisdom for us. His father always told him this. He said, never lie, never tell one lie. If you tell one lie, you will have to eventually tell 15 more to cover up the first. And some of you are like, yeah, I get that. I've been there. Now listen here, let's break this down a little bit for you math guys. So this dad says, if you tell one lie, that requires 15 more. In turn, each of those 15 lies requires 15 more, so you're already up to 225 lies. Those 225 lies require 15 lies on top of that, so then you're up to 3,375 lies. And before you know it, those 3,375 lies require 15 lies each. Guess how many lies you're gonna have to tell? 50,625 lies. You see how this gets out of hand? We tell one lie to put a facade up, to have a projection, and that lie becomes harder and harder and harder to keep. And this was me in my marriage. I felt like I had to lie about everything. And once you begin to lie about some of the big things, guess what it's easier to do? It's easier to lie about the little things. Just a snowball. We get to a point of what is truth? What is truth anyhow? And so there's a stress always involved. And so, man, is my wife gonna see my phone? Is my wife gonna see my email? Is my wife gonna look at what I looked up on Google? Is she gonna find? And there's so much anxiety that comes with that. It's a hidden cost of a lack of integrity. It's a hellacious way to live. It's terrible. The second cost of a lack of integrity is a damaged reputation in relationship. How many of you know that trust is developed over time, right? But it can be lost in a moment, right? And so if we have an integrity gap, what the scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, is that the way of the person that walks a crooked path will be found out. And let me tell you, when you're found out, your reputation is going to be tarnished and relationships are going to be damaged. I'm telling you, when I finally came to confess to my wife the things that I was dealing with that I had hidden from her, our relationship was damaged. Thank God, not beyond repair. But it was damaged, and it took a long time for me to earn trust. And so we gotta recognize, if we're living this dualistic lifestyle where I'm saying one thing yet doing another, I'm hiding something from somebody else, there will be a day when it's exposed. It will be. And when that day comes, there's going to be ramifications. There's going to be a loss of reputation, or there's gonna be some damage in your relationship. I'm telling you from experience, not just hypothetical. And the third thing that happens with integrity is integrity gap is that we lose our true self. We lose our true self. And so I begin to live this lie, and many of you probably can relate to this. We live a lie, and we begin to act a different way, and before I know it, I have gotten so far away from who I really am and the truth that I am just projecting a shell of who I am, right? And when I'm just projecting a shell of who I am, and it's not really Derek and how God created me, I find myself lacking purpose. I don't know my identity, and I'm really, really frustrated. And so if I'm living this life lacking integrity, I actually get to a place where I don't even know who I am, and I'm missing out on my own identity. This is the hidden cost of integrity gaps. But there's also, on the flip side, there's some good things about integrity. So it's not all bad with lack of integrity. There's some good things. I want you to write these three things down. We're gonna go quickly. Number one, the value of integrity is security. He said, those that walk in integrity walk with security. The word security means without fear, confident, safety. Freedom is not worrying about what I have to cover up. There is so much peace when I'm living a life that's truth, right? This is what Zig Ziglar says. He says, with integrity, you have nothing to fear since you have nothing to hide. With integrity, you will do the right thing so you will have no guilt. Listen, there is so much more freedom when we live life with honesty and with integrity. I don't know about you, but for my life, when I was walking in that lack of integrity, there was such a twisting and churning in my gut every time something came up. But listen, there is so much more freedom today because I'm an open book to my wife. I don't have secret passwords. I don't have any emails that she doesn't know about. I don't have a Facebook account with some dude that's not even me, that looks way younger. I don't do any of that. And there's freedom in that. There's freedom in that. So today, if you want freedom and you're like, man, I don't have freedom, yet you're walking in a lack of integrity, the hope is that when I do come to grips with the struggle and I bring it into the light, I can begin to walk in integrity, and that brings security. The number two thing it brings is guidance. This is what Proverbs 11:3 says, the integrity of the upright guides them. So when I come to a fork in the road, do I do something that I know is not right, or do I do what's right? Even if it's harder, a person who is committed to integrity is guided by that, and they do what is right. So inherently, if I'm walking in integrity, I know what I'm supposed to do. So even if the deal is super lucrative, but I've got to shortcut my integrity, I'm going to choose the path of integrity. There's guidance when I choose integrity. And the third thing for the value is hope. And David knew that there was hope when he wrote the psalm. Psalm 26:1 says, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted the Lord without favoring. With integrity, here's what we can trust in, is that God always walks in integrity. He is the embodiment of integrity. He is truth with a capital T, right? And so when I choose to align my life with the life of God, I know that there is favor and blessing regardless of the circumstance, because I've expressed my faith through obedience by being a person of integrity. Does that make sense? And so there's blessing, there's favor when I choose to follow the path of Jesus, to walk a life of integrity, and that should fill us with hope. So now we've looked at a couple things today. We've looked at what is integrity. We've looked at what are signs that I lack integrity. What are some costs? We've looked at the value. But I think the question that we all need to wrestle with is, how do I begin to grow in integrity? Real quick, there's three things. Number one, we got to recognize it is one decision at a time. One decision at a time. A life that is looked at as a life of integrity does not begin and end one time. It's a continuous decision, one after another. And let me just give you a tip. Men in the room, just look up here for a second. One of the things you can do to grow in integrity is put the toilet seat down. Amen, right, ladies? Like little bitsy things like that, right? I'm telling you, it'll change how you view everything. When I said I want to walk in integrity, guess what changed in my life? When I went to a public restroom and I tossed, you know, like a guy, I tried to shoot a three-pointer in the trash can. Like, you guys know that. You do that too. If I missed that napkin in the trash can and it fell on the floor, there were many times in my life I would just go on and say, hey, the janitor will get it, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Don't judge me. But if I'm gonna be a man of integrity, guess what that means? Decision after decision. That means I walk over, I pick up that napkin, and I put it in the trash. See, little obedience changes your life. Little situations of integrity will prepare you and gird you up when those bigger situations come where you've got a fork in the road. Am I gonna be a man or a woman of integrity or not? It's one decision at a time. The second thing, if we wanna grow in integrity, is we gotta be honest. Easier said than done. We got to be honest first with ourselves, then with God, and then with others. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus. I got to be honest with myself. Do I have integrity gaps in my life? Are there areas of my life where I'm just living a double standard, or I'm expecting one thing, but I'm doing another thing? I've got to be honest with myself, and then I've got to be honest with God, because here's the thing. He already knows all your junk, and yet he still says, come to me. Come to me. And why does he do that? Because he wants a relationship with you. He knows all your stuff before you tell him. Yet he still says, come and you confess, and this is what I'll do. I'll forgive you. See, that's hopeful. And then also the part of that is that we've got to be honest with somebody else. If you are stuck in addiction like I have been in my life, and you're stuck in just this world of lies, the best thing you can do is bring it into the light with somebody you trust and love. I remember the Sunday that happened. I was in Ohio, and the Lord was just working in me during worship, and the service ended, or actually it was in the middle of the service, the worship ended, and I just came down front, and I began to cry out my eyes, pour out my heart, because I knew that God was leading me to confess to my wife all the things that I had been struggling with. That moment, when I brought it into the light, it changed everything in our relationship. Because God operates in the light. He hates the darkness. In the darkness, Satan can have field day with you. But when we bring to the light, immediately that sin has lost its power. And so I would encourage you, if you want to break free of the cycle you're in, you need to find some godly counsel, some people that you trust immensely, and you need to bring it before them and to pray with you. The third thing, which really aligns with what Eric taught last week, is to seek godly counsel. To seek godly counsel. And this is what I mean when I say that. I want you to find somebody who you trust and you really value, and you go to that person. Now, not the person that has pom-poms and chases you around and says, you're so amazing. Like, not that person. But the person who will speak life and truth to you. And I want you to ask them, do you consider me a man or woman of integrity? Is there anything that you're seeing in my life that would make you question my integrity? And why do I say that? Because this is what I know about somebody who is wise. And that's what our series is on, right? Somebody who is wise always wants to know where they have blind spots. They don't want to just say, oh, I got a blind spot over there. I'm just going to enjoy that. No, a person who's wise seeks out counsel to say, is there something I'm missing? Have I totally missed the boat? Am I doing something and not really getting across? And so if we want to grow in integrity, those are the three things. We've got to be honest. We got to realize that it starts with one decision, even today as you leave this. What are you going to do? And then we got to seek godly counsel. And the hope is that we see in this last verse is that God will draw near to us, to all those who draw near to him in truth. You see that in truth at the end of that verse, in truth, God wants to deal with you and me and to love you and me when we're honest with ourselves and with him. That's where he does the most work. And so what would it look like this week for you to ask these questions that are in the back of your paper? Is there any area where you're lacking integrity? And actually answer that question, and you and God have a conversation about that. And then I encourage you to take some time and actually confess that or verbally tell God the truth, knowing that he will forgive every single time that we sin, every single time. And then what would it look like this week for you to take one step of integrity? What would that look like in your life? What would that look like? God wants you to walk in integrity. He loves you. Even if you're not today, he says, come. Because my way is where you find life. I've got so much more. Those that walk in integrity walk securely. That's a promise that we can stand on today. Lord, thank you so much for this time that we get to open up your word, where we get to sing the praises of you, Father. Lord, I ask that you would stir us up, that you convict us, that you would draw us closer to you. That our lives would reflect Jesus, that we would embody and embrace integrity. And when we don't, Lord, we would be on our knees asking for forgiveness and knowing that you empower us to live it out. So Lord, do in us and teach in us to follow you in all that we say, all that we do, so that we're not divided. In Jesus' name, amen.